mercies far exceed all we can do or say, as in thy people thou indeed dost daily more display. Let for our happiness, O God, on us while here below, by virtue of Christ's death and blood, thy richest blessings flow. 288. O Lord, who
is far exceeding all we can do or say, as in thy people how in thee dost daily more display.
Once again this afternoon, we thank thee that we can sing with hymns as such, that we can ask, preserve thy flock most graciously within thy sheltering fold. We know that thou art the only one that can preserve us, so we now look to thee. We think of many here this afternoon. Thou knowest we have various needs, so we look to thee, knowing that thou art the one that can fill our needs. Thou knowest too that perhaps some here need special help. Some here perhaps are discouraged. Some here are perhaps distracted. So we look to thee, knowing that thou art able. So we commit the following meeting into thine hand. We do pray that through thy Spirit's guidance, that we may learn more of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, and that we're reminded once more that we're heavenly citizens by birth. So we look to thee, and we commit this meeting into thy hand, giving thee our thanks once more, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
I hope it's okay if we have a few comments from somebody on the younger side. It's open to Revelation chapter 2 to begin, please. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. This was brought to my mind yesterday by a number of different things that were said. Strengthen the things which remain. Maybe to set up what I have on my heart, I'll tell you a little story. A couple of years ago, my wife and I decided that we needed to replace the roof on our house because we live in an old farmhouse and it had about a 100-year-old metal roof on it that had a lot of pinholes in it. So I contacted an Amish guy that I know. He came out and looked at it. And he did a very nice job putting a new roof on our house. But in part of that process, he said to me, he says, you know, some of the boards under there are kind of weak. And even though the outside looks good, you really ought to put some more strength in the rafters. And I thought about that and didn't do anything about it, unfortunately. Now, everything turned out fine, but as many of you know, we had a winter this year that had a lot of snow. And it was cold, and roofs began to collapse. And thankfully, ours didn't. But it reminded me of what he said, strengthen the things which remain. And my roof is remaining. But I want to talk about that on a spiritual level, if I can. And I'd like, I hope it's okay to talk to the families and to you young people. It'd be all right if I talk to you for a few minutes. I don't intend to talk a long time. Strengthening the things which remain. You know, it really is a real blessing to look here and see all of you young people and those of you with young families. I know a lot of young families have left at noon today, but it pleases the Lord's heart to see you here seeking to learn more about Him. And we're living in a world today that there are a lot of challenges for you young people. There's a lot of pressure to conform to this world. There's a lot of pressure to give in to the philosophies of men. And sometimes it's easier not to say anything. And we can find ourselves, our silence can almost be a lie sometimes. There's an attack against something that we hold dear. Well, I'm just not going to say anything. That's almost a lie. There's a lot of weight, if you will, the enemy wants to crush your roof. So I would like to help you strengthen the things which are remaining with a few thoughts that I've enjoyed. So, firstly, let's turn over to 1 Chronicles 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Here we have the time when David was going to be made king. And I just want to point out one group of people that went to make David king. 1 Chronicles 12, verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. And then verse 38, all these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to make David king over Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. As I mentioned a minute ago, we're living in a time where the enemy is more and more focused in bringing down everything that is dear to the heart of God, the family, the assembly, individual lives. And I don't think any of us have to think very hard to think of loved ones, people that we care about a lot, that are under attack. And so we need in our homes and in our assemblies to have an understanding of the times. I was very much enjoyed, Michelle, your message yesterday. It very much is an understanding of the times. And we've spent a good deal of time at this conference discussing some very beautiful doctrines and some very beautiful thoughts that the Lord has for us in His Word. I've got another W for you, Michelle. And I often talk about this in our home, is to understand the why behind the what. And it's important to spend time carefully delineating what God's thoughts are and the ways of God with us, so that not only can we know what to do, but why the Lord wants us to do something. So, young people and I guess everybody, let's be mindful of the why behind the what. You know, it's one thing for me to say to my kids, this is what I want, and they say, well, why, Dad? And when they're 4 or 5, I can say, because I said, right? And they're, oh, okay. Right? You young people remember your parents answered that way, because I said? But you know what? Now my children are teenagers and say, I don't want you to do this or that. And I say, well, why, Dad? Because I said. And they're like, well, why? Right? It doesn't work anymore. So it's important to know the why behind the what. So that's my contribution, Michelle, to your W's. First of all, I want to talk to young families for a minute. Turn to Mark 10, please. Here we have the Lord Jesus, and this is a beautiful passage. I very much enjoy this passage. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they brought little children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Well, I read this because I also have a young family. And I remember it's not an easy thing to bring 4 small kids to a conference like this. And I want to encourage you, moms and dads, it's a real joy to see those little faces. And when Donnie stood up here this morning and talked to the kids, what a joy to see those little people. And you may sit there and the kids are whining for another coloring book or more crackers or whatever. You know what? And here it says, they brought little children unto him. Why? So that they could understand deep doctrine? Not yet. That he might touch them. And that's what we want for the little kids, that he might touch them. You think of imagine the Lord Jesus just placing his hand on your head like that. What a blessing. And I know I'd mentioned this before, but it's worth saying again. Many years ago, I was saved at a conference like this one. And I think my mom at the time probably thought, boy, I just wish that we could go home now. But you know what? The Lord Jesus touched my life and heart that day. And so I want to encourage you that the Lord has the good and the blessing of the children in mind. So don't be afraid if your kids are crying in meeting. It's a good noise. And I'll tell you, I love to watch little kids, and the Lord is wanting to just touch them, and He will. So I just want to encourage you, young moms and dads, bring your children to the Lord, and He'll touch them, bless them. The other thoughts I had before me, I'm not going to speak a long time. I've spoken on this before, but it's very helpful to me, and I want to just review it with the young people. Turn over to Deuteronomy with me, chapter 22. Deuteronomy 22, verse 8. I look around, I see a lot of young people here. I see some couples here. I know at least one that purpose to be married soon. Here's some encouragement for you. I hope this helps strengthen the things which remain. Verse 8, when thou buildest an house, then thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof, that thou bring not blood upon thine house if any man fall from thence. Well, the literal meaning of this is, if you go up on the roof, put a fence around it so nobody falls off. Let's talk about it in a spiritual sense. Young people, the Lord is interested in your home and the home that you will establish in the future if He leaves us here. And you may say, oh, that's a long ways off for me. Maybe it is, but I can tell you from experience that time goes by really quickly. The Lord is interested in the type of home that you establish. And by the way, it says in Proverbs, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. And so as you are advancing into having your own family, or if you are a young family right now, put the Lord at the center of your home. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. In my own strength or your own strength, we may lay ever so carefully our plans, but the Lord needs to be building the house, or we labor in vain. But now here, the thought I have in verse 8 is safety. Spiritual safety. Our homes should be a place of spiritual safety. When people come into our homes, when our children especially come home from school, or you young people, they come home from work or home from university, that home should be a place of safety. There's boundaries. There's guidelines set in the home. And it's an exercise to us. It reminds me of when Hezekiah had the visitors from Nebuchadnezzar, and it says he showed them everything in his house. And the prophet Isaiah said, what have they seen in thine house? It's a good question for us. What are our young people seeing in our homes? It's a searching question, isn't it? And I hope that they see a home that is filled with love and that is has the desire to honor Christ and has a heart for service and worship. So the Lord is interested in it. When thou buildest an house, thou shalt make a battlement for thy roof. And I just want to encourage all of us that our homes be places of refuge away from the wiles of the devil. It's easy for our homes to become a collection of things that don't honor the Lord, that are maybe not necessarily bad in themselves, but let's just be careful. The question is, what have they seen in thine house? And I encourage each one of us that what they see in our homes would be for value and benefit and encouragement. Well, let's go on. Verse 9. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of thy vineyard be defiled. Well, we can't help but think of the law of the harvest that we're given in Galatians 6. I better read it to get it right. Those of you that know me well know that I work in agriculture, and I enjoy very much sowing and harvesting. Galatians 6. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Well, this is a very practical thing, young people. You reap what you sow. It's true in nature, and it's true in spiritual things also. We never find blessing and good as a crop of sowing to the flesh. There's a cost to sowing to the flesh. Be not deceived. Michelle mentioned this yesterday. We look at the ads that we're bombarded with, and we're told that you could not possibly be happy unless you're drinking this kind of beverage, eating this kind of food, driving in this kind of a vehicle, vacationing in this place, right? And we're taught to be discontent, and everybody is doing it, and the enemy wants you to sow seeds in the flesh, to make decisions, to make choices that have a cost, and they're real costs. Michelle mentioned seeing what those costs are in lives at recovery houses. I think we all know people that are reaping serious consequences from sowing to the flesh. So I'm not here to beat you up, but in faithfulness to the Word of God, the practical reminder that we never, ever find benefit and gain the crop of sowing to the flesh. And the enemy would like to say, do this and nobody will find out. Nobody will know. You'll be able to keep it under control. It never works that way. It doesn't. And I can tell you in my own life, instances where I thought I could walk both sides of the fence, if you will, it doesn't work. So, like I say, I'm not here to beat you up, but it is a warning. We reap what we sow. If I plant corn seeds, I get corn plants. If we plant soybean seeds, I'm not going to get raspberries. I'm going to get what I plant. That's the way it is. Now, let's go to the encouraging side. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Somebody mentioned yesterday about Andrew and Peter. You know, Andrew was a person that he wasn't flamboyant. He wasn't at the front. But he was good at bringing people to Jesus. And one of the people he brought was his own brother, Peter. And what was the result of sowing that seed? What happened on the day of Pentecost? Peter, who was brought to meet the Lord Jesus by Andrew, a small seed, right? He's like, hey, Peter, I've met the Messiah. Come with me. And now we have Peter, and I identify with Peter very well. Peter was I think you know what I mean. Peter was, he was all in on stuff, whether it was right or wrong. You know, when it says he cut off the high priest's ear, you think he was just trying to trim his whiskers? No. I think he had the sword out and he was going for the whole head, and the guy probably ducked and got the ear right. Peter was all in. Anyway, here Andrew brings Peter to the Lord. What happens on the day of Pentecost? Peter is filled with the Spirit. It says that 3,000 people were saved that day. Where did it start? Andrew sowed a little small seed in bringing his brother to the Lord. So that's the positive side of it. And the encouraging side is the Lord can use you, young people, to do things for Him that may seem very small, but have eternal consequences. I grew up in Newfoundland, as most of you know. My folks had the gospel tent for 40 years. And there were times where I remember my dad saying, you know, I don't think we got through to anybody. And we took, you know, you drive the bus down and there'd be two or three dozen eggs sitting beside the bus. And it was disruptive and unruly and laughing and catcalling. You know what? 20 years later, people will come to my folks and say, hey, you remember me? No? Well, I got saved. And I wanted to tell you about it. So be encouraged, young people, to sow to the Spirit. And the Lord will bless that. Okay, let's move on. Verse 10. Back in Deuteronomy again now. Deuteronomy 22. Verse 10. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. What do we have in this for us? Some of you will recall the parameters, if you will, of the clean and the unclean animals. The clean animals had the cloven hoof and they chewed the cud, right? It's a spiritual lesson for us. The cloven hoof is separation from the world and separate to Christ. Chewing the cud, there's probably a number of applications to this, but to my own heart, chewing the cud is meditating and ingesting the Word of God and then bringing it back up and ruminating on it, if you will, meditating on it and being in the Word of God. And I'll leave it to other people to give other applications about the clean and the unclean, but the unclean didn't have those things. No cloven hoof, not chewing the cud, right? Here we have, don't plow with an ox and an ass together. So here we have the ox and the donkey. Different size, different gait. One's clean, one's unclean. They don't work together. One is very loyal and steady. The other one is stubborn. This is guidance, young people, in your lives. While you're making decisions in your life about relationships, about business partnerships, on any number of levels, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. The Word of God is giving us, there's a sign here that says, warning, don't do this. And again, I'm not up here to beat you up, but I am up here to encourage you to trust what the Word of God has in protection for your life. You may think, I can handle dating an unsaved person. You know, and I remember when I was in school, it's not that long ago, you know, you'd see somebody that, oh, they're fun to be around, and well, why don't we go have Coke together or whatever. And it's not that serious. And things develop. And suddenly emotions are involved. And the Word of God is telling us here, don't do that because you're mixing clean and unclean. It tells us in Corinthians, turn to that, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? Well, you may think, and I may think, that maybe we can bring the other person up to our level. It doesn't work that way. A saved person and an unsaved person, generally the saved person is brought down to the level of the unsaved person. Be careful, young people. Like I said, I don't want to beat you up, But we have to be faithful in the guidance that God gives us in His Word. It's here for our good and blessing. Now, sometimes you might say, well, I know of cases where two people got married and the Lord saved the other person. And the Lord is gracious. But we dare not demand that God make an exception based on a willful act of disobedience. Sometimes I know of couples that were married in ignorance, not understanding what the Scripture teaches. And the Lord is gracious and loves to bless. But we cannot expect God to bring us into a place of blessing when we have deliberately chosen a pathway that the Lord has said, this is not for you. And it's true in business, too. Think, well, I'm going to go into partnership with this person or that person. Be careful about it. The Word of God has your blessing in mind. I'm reminded of some of you know Brother Sterling Canning from Newfoundland. And Sterling is a peach of a brother. He's just a sweet. You can't help but be at Sterling's and just have a smile on your face, right, Brian? Anyway, Sterling was fishing together in partnership with his brother-in-law. And he was exercised about this. The guy's name was Oz. And Oz was not a Christian. And in obedience to the Word of God, Brother Sterling told Oz, I can't be in partnership with you anymore. I'm going to buy you out. But I'm still going to pay you as a shared partner. You know what? The Lord blessed him in it. He did. And the Lord will bless you to walk in obedience to what He's asking you to do. All right, let's go to verse 11. Thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. Well, clothing, to me, often speaks of testimony. We've recently had the Olympics, right? And every country is wearing their own colors, if you will. And when they win, they have their flags over their shoulders because they are proclaiming who they belong to. And young people, I just want to encourage you in your walk on a day-to-day basis. Fly the flag of Christianity and the Lord Jesus high and early. And it's not an easy thing to do all the time. You know, I think it was Mr. Rule that mentioned this morning, the man that said, man, I live in the presence of God. That comment, if I am right in this, I think I am, was made by a godly brother, an older brother, who was exposed to jokes and other things in his workplace, and he made that comment, men, I live in the presence of God. You know what happened to the environment? They didn't try to bring him into that anymore because of his testimony. He flew the flag. He had his colors up. And I want to encourage you to do that early. You know, you may be 10 and think, well, you know, that's all fine for you old people, but, you know, all I want to do is just go to school and come back. You know, put the name of Christ on your life. Sometimes I think of the verse that says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I think that applies to the gospel very well. But it also applies to your life. You confess the name of Christ to somebody in your class or in your office, you'll be saved from a lot of problems. I can tell you that from experience. Especially you young men, as you're getting jobs, your boss will send you someplace on a trip, or you're on some project, you're flown off to some other city to meet with people and, all right, we're all going to go out to dinner. And then we're going here and we're going there. And it's very difficult if you haven't confessed the name of Christ to get out of some of that. I remember flying to Denver one time, and I knew in my heart of hearts this is the way it was going to go. And it did. And I thank the Lord that He gave me the strength to say, I cannot go with you guys. I won't go. And here's why. And you know what? They never asked me again. So fly your flag early and put it up high. But now there's something else in this garment. Turn over for a thought in Ezekiel 44. And I have to confess, I never dreamed that I could minister out of Ezekiel to anybody. But let's turn to Ezekiel 44. Verse 18. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causeth sweat. Well, here the instruction was to have linen and not wool. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts as woolen and linen together. Linen speaks of heavenly things. Wool speaks of human effort, if you will. Sweat. So if we were to go outside right now and we all had wool sweaters on, maybe we wouldn't sweat, but I think I would. Right? And to me, it speaks of human effort in striving to achieve what I want to achieve. They were not to do that. You know, it's tempting for us to, you know, we had the gospel supper last night, right? And we might say, how could we get more people here? Well, let's bring in a nice band and let's do a bunch of things like that. And I'm not speaking against people that play music well, don't get me wrong. But God's work is His Spirit's work, and we're to rely on the Spirit to work in our lives and not insert our own human effort, if you will. So Steve and I might say, well, we're going to do this project in our own strength. And what happens, Steve? It doesn't work, right? When we're doing things in the strength of the Lord, and the Lord gives the liberty, and the Lord gives the gift and the guidance, suddenly it's the Lord's work. It has nothing to do with us. And that's how the Lord wants us to surrender our lives. Say, Lord, it's none of me, and it's all of You. And then the Lord blesses that. So that's all I'll say about that. But remember the testimony and flying the flag early in your garments, and also letting the Lord be in control and not me. Now the last one that we'll talk about, verse 12. Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four corners of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself. Well, here's some instruction about putting a border around their clothing. Now, I'd like to connect that with Numbers 15 for a minute, please. And verse 38. Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, that they put upon the fringe of the border a ribbon of blue. Well, if we were to go outside right now and look up, what would we see? Blue. Maybe. I think blue. If there was no clouds, we certainly would see blue. And it's a reminder to us, young people, to keep our view on heavenly things. It's easy to get our eyes on earthly problems. You know, the car broke down, or this or that or the other thing. I think every one of us can think of different earthly things that we can get occupied with, probably necessary for our lives, but it's not to be the center focus. So here we have these ribbons of blue on these four corners of the garment, reminding us to keep our view heavenward. We're a heavenly people. This earth is not our home. We're going up. We're going up. And it's been helpful for me to think about these four ribbons of blue as our personal lives, keeping a heavenly view, our family lives, our assembly lives, and our work lives. Four things that we can do. And to keep our view and our focus and to gain our strength from drawing from the heavenly. We're heavenly people. So I hope that this has helped strengthen the things which remain. I very much want to be speaking in an encouraging way to you young people and to young families. The Lord values you. The Lord has work for you to do. The Lord has a plan for your life. And the happy path is to follow the Lord's direction and to follow the Lord's leading and to take seriously the warnings that Scripture gives us and also to be encouraged by the encouragements that the Lord gives. They brought little children to him that he might bless them. And he did. He does. He will. So, be encouraged. We're almost at the end. We're almost at the end. The way this world is going right now, Bob mentioned this last night, we're in a fast downward spiral. Should we throw in the towel and give up? No. Let's keep our eyes on heavenly things, and the Lord will bless.